Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh.
And we are here, as always, to bring you some recently played poker hands, to talk through them, do a little bit of hand history, discussing how badly we played.
Yeah, I mean, it really boils down to that, you know. If you want to watch successful poker players, this is not the channel for you, as evidenced by every time we try to move up in stakes, we are promptly sent back down to the lowest levels available at our respective card rooms.
Exactly. That is, and you know, it's not like we're like moving up in stakes to like 5-10 or something. It's like we're trying to play $5 blind games, you know, like basically the bread and butter of anyone who tries to play poker profitably, and we simply cannot accomplish that simple task. So
thanks for sticking with us anyway, and if you're new here, welcome. I hope you enjoy. If you're not new here, you know the drill by now. And Mike, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I actually do have another hand from that shot I took at 2-5. I don't know what it was, last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I thought it was sort of an interesting one. Playing against a short stack in 2-5, which is one of the reasons the $5 blind games are nice, is because there aren't a lot of short stacks, but alas. This was a hand 235 effective at Best Bet Jacksonville, 2-5. So really like just over 40 bigs, if you even consider that. Like truly a $5 being the big blind, it's like the standard open size being quite large, as evidenced by we have a low jack. We start this hand off with a low jack limp, and the short stacked hijacked player makes it $30, just straight open to 30. And this was a fairly ABC kind of player, so
right.
But I didn't read anything into this open size, like this was just kind of happening. So, okay. I go ahead and I call on the button. And
what do you have?
We are sitting with Ace Jack. It was suited. I don't remember the suits. It was a black.
Okay.
Black Ace Jack.
Sounds good.
So we call it spades.
Perfect.
The limper also calls.
Okay, sounds good. So already we're is the limper fairly deep? Are you reasonably deep with the limper?
I don't remember the limper stack. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But probably I would say probably around 100 bigs.
Yeah, I think this call is fine. Like I think it's probably not bad to like 3-bet and just try and get it in with the hijack, given that they have like 40 bigs. But I think calling's probably better. And like I wouldn't call Ace Jack off suit. But I think Ace Jack suited is a fine hand to call.
Okay. So we have a flop now of King of Hearts, 10 of Hearts, 7 of Diamonds.
Okay, so we've got a gutter.
Yeah, we've got a gutter. No flush draw, of course. The low jack checks, and the hijack continues now for 50 into 90. And we do decide to continue here with our ace high and gutter. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I mean, especially if we're a little bit deeper, I definitely don't hate it. But I do wonder, like, if hijack is just going to be jamming, like, every turn. In which case, I don't like continuing here because there's just very few turns that we're going to want to continue on. And, like, when people are that short, I find that can be the case a good portion of the time where, like, he might not even be planning on it now, but, you know, the turn rolls off and he kind of looks down at his stack and he's like, oh, crap, I only have $150. It's going in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I didn't see that this player was, like, doing, like, he was not a very aggressive player. I mean, I think if this had been a fairly aggressive player, we could potentially jam as a bluff here or just fold. But just with this sort of ABC kind of guy, like, I think it's going to be, for the most part, pretty obvious where I'm at in the hand on the turn here. Like, I don't think I don't think I'm getting blown off anything on the turn. Like, you know, if he jams turn, like, he's going to have it, you know?
Right. So, okay. Yeah, I think it's probably fine. Like, we could very well have the best hand and, like, you know, be able to sort of check back turn, check back river and win.
We can just win with ace high here. I think personally.
Yeah.
And the low jack folds.
So hero calls, low jack folds. But now, of course, there is, you know, basically $200 in the pot and like 150-ish behind.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So for sure, I mean, obviously if we miss, if, you know, our hand does not improve on the turn and we get jammed on, we can fold. If our hand, you know, if we, there's not really a way to pick up equity here other than, of course, hitting an ace or, which we are going to jam if we hit an ace. We are going to jam, obviously, if we make our straight. Okay. What happens on the turn is sort of a card I wasn't really expecting to see, which was, it wasn't really considering, which is a jack, the jack of diamonds. So we make a pair.
Yep.
And the villain now checks.
Okay.
I think we're supposed to just check back here always, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I'd probably just check back. Yeah. I mean, maybe we can, like, jam for value. Because, like, is villain really going to check a king here ever? Like, I don't know. It's so villain-dependent where, like, I feel like even live, though, most villains would jam a king. Like, any king in this spot, just because, like, they have less than a pot size bet behind.
Probably not, like, king four.
Yeah, but they probably, you, most villains probably aren't opening king four.
That's true also. They're especially limping not, like, king an ABC four. Sort of player. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, at the time, I didn't consider jamming, but I kind of look back on it now and wonder. You know, it's a double flush draw board, so, you know, we could get called by, like, you know, 10-9 of diamonds or something silly like that.
Yeah, maybe 7-8 of hearts, queen jack of hearts or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, would he call? Do you think he'd call with, like, some random? There's also, like, a ton of pair plus straight draws that I wonder if he'd call us with. Like, even, like, pocket nines is, like, a pair and a gutter. Like, would he kind of side call with that hand? Like, I don't know.
I mean, you know, with second pair, it sort of feels weird to jam for value, but I just feel like, I mean, there is obviously some king X in his range that we just lose to here, but his range has so much weak, like, second best hands. So I kind of wonder if jamming here is really, I don't know. I don't know if it's too thin, but I kind of, it sounds like you think it might not be.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with that. The more I think about it, it's like, I just feel like given the stack sizes, villain's going to jam himself with a lot of hands that beat us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he may have some pair plus draw hands that he just doesn't want to get rid of. And so we can just put the max pressure on.
Yeah.
Would you have called if villain had jammed?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
I don't think I can. Right. I mean, how often is this a bluff? Like, yeah. I guess really like,
yeah,
not
yeah, that's
much
reasonable.
You know, like,
yeah, just curious.
Most live players, like, should be finding bluffs here. Like, pocket nines probably should jam as a bluff, but would not.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
So it sounds you chose to check back this time.
Yeah.
Which I think is also fine. But it's going to make playing rivers a little bit tricky at times.
Well, speaking of, the river rolls off the eight of spades. So both flush draws brick. Now any nine is a straight.
Right.
And villain thinks for a bit and jams.
Man.
Yeah. So I don't even know. We're getting better than you know, 2-1. We're not getting quite 3-1. So it's, you know, 2.5-1, whatever. Ish, you know.
Yeah.
Are we good here 30% of the time? Or is this like a, I mean, this is probably, I guess I don't really think it makes any sense for him to have a king at this point in the hand.
Right.
That's kind of my first thought. And so I'm like, well, what is he doing this with? I mean, probably like, I don't know, straight is it, or maybe like two pair. Two pair is also possible, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, he could have two pair.
Like jack eight.
I don't really think he has two pair that much because he opened. If this guy's pretty ABC, you know, and has like a limping range, you have to think that most of these hands are going to go into that limping range and not be mm-hmm. open. I think that's something that's pretty interesting and important to consider is when villains have a limping range, you can really discount like a lot of sort of the bottom portion of like a reasonable opening range from their actual range. Because like, yeah, villain could open jack eight or jack nine suited from the hijack. very reasonably, but if you've seen this player limp, then those hands are probably in the limping range instead.
Yeah, agreed. So I didn't really think, like, that was, I mean, I was kind of going through it in the game. I was like, well, like, what two pair do you end up with here? Maybe like 7-8, but like, that's kind of a thin jam, to be honest, for a live player too.
The other value hands are sort of the hands that maybe he felt were like really strong, or he decided to trap with on the turn, which less likely when there's two flush draws out there, but certainly possible if he had a hand like ace queen, especially if it's ace queen of hearts or diamonds, maybe like
king jack,
pocket kings, king jack. Although I don't know, I mean, pocket kings, it's almost like that could be a hand that villain checked because he felt his hand was really strong, but at the same time he was scared of the straights that came in or something like that. That would not be too surprising to see.
Yeah, so there are a couple of like nutted combos and then just like basically straights, and then for bluffs, I mean, there's just like, you know, there's like suited connectory type flush draws, but I guess I wonder, like, is there like ace x of hearts, ace x of diamonds, you know, that players sometimes will open, you know, like, but I mean, again, a lot of those hands are paired up.
Villains hate turning pairs into bluffs live, for sure. So I don't know. I'll be honest. I might fold here. I just don't know what bluffs villain has in this spot. Like, every bluff here would have to be a pair when you look at the texture of the board.
Right, other than like ace five of diamonds or ace five of hearts, if villain has those hands.
Right, I feel like he just shipped those on the turn.
Right.
Fair enough. I don't know. I think I'd probably fold here.
I think you're right. I think it's probably a fold. Like, I was thinking, well, the flush draw's bricked and, you know, it doesn't make that, like, there aren't, I don't know what nines he has other than, I mean, we did talk about some nines on the turn, like 10-9, pocket nines. If he's opening 10-9.
And I would be fine calling here against like a competent player with who can kind of find some of these bluffs. Mm-hmm. You know, especially this shallow, it's like, you know, whatever, you have a pair. They're probably just going to jam so many hands on the turn that it doesn't really make sense for them to have much here. So, you know, maybe this winds up being an overbluffed spot because they just turn their bottom pair or whatever into a bluff. But against this player, I just don't know how often that's going to be the case.
No, I think this is a fold. I agree. I didn't fold in game, but I do think in hindsight that this is a fold. So
welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So we do think for quite a while and then call it off. And villain shows that we just have no idea what's going on because villain has Jack 9 offsuit.
Wow. So, wow, good for him.
Yeah.
He found it. So, yeah, I mean, that, I think that kind of brings me back to the turn and think, like, hey, you know, let's just rip it in on the turn and get called by all this, like, stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if he has that much stuff, like, I really think it's an extremely profitable turn jam. So,
yeah.
It's interesting, though. Like, we talked about, it's funny, I thought you were bringing up the limping range, this idea, like, well, he really shouldn't have these weaker hands because he opened and didn't limp, and I agree. But sometimes, man, live players, they're just like, I'm going to open this one.
Yeah, maybe they haven't opened in a while. Maybe they're like, I'm just going to do it, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. This guy was really talking about all these high roller games he likes to play, so it was kind of interesting.
Ah, poker.
Yeah, love it. So, yeah, that's my first hand. I think that, you know, ultimately, I don't hate... I think I can fold flop sometimes. I don't hate my flop call. I think I can re-raise pre-flop sometimes, but I think it's also fine to call sometimes. I feel like this hand was pretty marginal most of the way, but I do think a fold is appropriate. A jam on the turn would be nice, and a fold on the river.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. Short stack poker does indeed suck, and I am glad to report that most games at Encore do not play super short, even 1-3. Many people are buying in for at least 300. Many people are buying in for the cap. The table I was sitting at last night was playing super deep. It was awesome. I was like, I'm not even going to consider table changing because I sat down and like four people had like $1,000 plus stacks. I was like,
nice,
excellent. And they were all bad. So it was a table, you know, it was just great.
Unlike us, who are very good.
Unlike us, yes, exactly. Exactly. So, in this hand, we are playing that 1-3 game from that table last night at Encore Boston Harbor. In this particular hand, we're actually 450 effective. I was playing against a relatively newer player. some context on the villain. This villain kind of makes me laugh because I think I've played with him multiple times, and every time he sits down, I think, oh, great, an OMC. And then he isn't. He's just kind of like an ABC player. Because he looks old,
you're saying.
He looks old, and he sits down with a hot coffee.
Very good. Oh, I love it.
But then, like, he has an opening range that is not aces and kings. He, like, plays a lot of hands, so it's fun.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's good to see the older gentleman getting after it. Okay.
Good to see the elderly.
So what do you got here?
So another thing about this table that was nice is the straddle was on probably around half the time, which is always good. So there is a straddle onto six in this hand, and hero is in the cutoff. It folds all the way to me, and I open queen jack of clubs up to 20.
Okay.
Again, the straddle's on, so 20 winds up being my usual raise, and actually winds up being like around 3x, which is always funny how, like, the higher you get at stakes, the more, like, you actually kind of align to normal open sizes.
Definitely. Okay, so you make a 20 in the cutoff, and what happens?
Yep, and the big blind and the straddle both call.
Okay.
So in position for the rest of the hand, which is great. And we run off to a really interesting flop. It comes ace, king, jack, rainbow, ace of diamonds, king of hearts, jack of spades. So we do not have a backdoor flush draw on this board. We do have bottom pair and a gut shot. Both villains check it over to me. And what do you like here?
You know, this is interesting where it's one of those spots that your hand at no point in this hand, very likely, will you ever be able to be called by a worse hand than your hand.
Right.
You know, and that's not common in poker, I don't think, but it does. There are certain board textures, swap textures that are like that. Like, you have a pair here, but, like, just know, like, you know, even if you check it back, if it goes check, 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 and then the turn is like an eight and somebody is holding 8-9 or something, and then they pair their eight and they check to you and you bet, they're going to fold most of the time. So I think it's sort of interesting, like, well, the question is, like, do we think we're good here often enough that, and are these players passive enough that we can just try to check it down for three streets, or do I want to start turning my hand to a bluff right away? And I think that's kind of what I would be thinking in this spot.
And I will say there are probably two hands that I can think of that we might be able to get a street of value from, and those are like Jack 10 and Pocket 10s.
Okay, sure.
But you know, I think that is sort of limited enough that,
yeah,
you know, your point stands. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because, like, I'm kind of thinking, I mean, I guess the real question is, like, does this hand sort of function better or worse than, you know, really, like, the bottom of our range, like a hand like, you know, 8-9 of diamonds,
mm-hmm.
You know, is it, you know, like a hand that's a pair, or not a pair, a hand that's just nothing but a backdoor and some undercards. And I don't know. I mean, this hand does have some nice things going for it. Like, villains can definitely show up here with, like, ace-jack and king-jack, and queen-ten is sort of the top parts of their range. And we do have pretty nice blockers to that. But on the other hand, they can also show up here with, like, garbage-suited connectors of their own, in which case, especially in a 1-3 game, we very well might be able to just check back and get to showdown with our hand and win.
I guess the other thing I will say, too, is, like, you might run into a spot where on the turn, you know, somebody turns a flush draw and then you can get called also for a small sizing. So I do think there is some merit here to perhaps checking back and then betting some turns. I mean, but it's hard, you know, because the thing is, like, on the turn, like, people are going to call you down with a king, for example, you know, or an ace.
Like, if we like kind of check back and then bet the turn, we'll definitely get called by, like, any pair.
Right. And so, I don't know. I might be inclined to really, like, just because of the, even if the turn is a flush draw, if it brings a flush draw, there's just that the range of hands we can get value from is so narrow, is going to be so narrow. I do kind of, and unless we think our opponents are bluff prone, in which case, you know, we can't be too weak here. But if we think our opponents are not going to bluff much, I think I just want to get this hand to showdown, to be honest with you.
So. Got it. Yeah, I think that's fine. it's just kind of interesting to think about, like, what our bluffs are here. You know, maybe a hand like 10-9 really functions the best. Because, you know, where we kind of have a little bit of equity, you know, and maybe we... So we have a lot less showdown value, of course.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're asking, like, well, would we? Is this a good bluff candidate because we are blocking some of the two pairs type hands or something?
Yeah.
Like, but I think no, because, I mean, we beat, you know, and a lot of hand, we can win at showdown. Like, we have good showdown value with this hand versus, like you're saying, like 10-9 doesn't jack 10. Or sorry, Jack 10 does, but 10-9 doesn't, you know, those sorts of hands, 10-8, I don't know. Some weird double backdoor sort of arrangement might be a better bluffing candidate. I mean, if you had ace king, would you bet this? What would you bet this board? Would you take a larger sizing? Would you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I'd just start hammering for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's multi-way, so it's really, I mean, it's kind of not a huge difference. It's like betting 30 instead of betting 20. But I do think I would take that larger sizing and just try and go bet big, bet big, bet big.
And but if you, what if you had like ace five? Would you bet here?
I'd probably check back here with like ace five.
Okay. Yeah, I just think you're probably not betting this board that much. You don't need that many bluffs. And I would probably rather use one of our hands that doesn't have showdown value to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, I decided to bet.
Okay. What, I mean, are you betting for, are you just betting as like, I'm range betting this board? Are you betting for value? Like, what's your thinking with this bet?
I think I'm betting, like, kind of betting as a bluff. I think, okay, I expect one of these, like, I expect, I kind of think one of these players most likely has, like, an ace or a king a lot of the time, just because, like, it's live poker and we're going to get called by all sorts of crappy aces pre-flop.
Sure. Okay. So you're thinking you're, I'm going to just turn this hand into a bluff now. I mean, I think that's fine. But I do think there's, you probably do have some better candidates, but okay, I'm okay with it. What was the sizing you took?
So I bet 30, I bet half pot, like, because I think that just should be my, I think I should be betting big in general on this board when I do bet, because I have such a strong, like, range and not advantage. And, you know, that means I'm not going to be betting a lot of my marginal hands.
Sure. Okay.
So I bet 30, and the big blind calls and the straddle folds.
Yeah, I do wonder in theory, just thinking back at this board, like, versus a big blind and a straddle call range, like, they're going to have extremely bottom-heavy ranges. Like, they're mostly just going to miss this board completely. And even, like, even their pocket pairs, they're not going to want to defend with much. So I actually do wonder if, are we not supposed to take a smaller sizing on this board for that reason alone? I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, I guess we need to find a lot of bluffs if we... I mean, if we do take the large sizing, we do need to find a lot of bluffs, but... I don't know. I feel like we just always want to make sure we can play for stacks with our big side, with our best hands.
Mm. Okay. All right. So you are now heads up.
Yes, we're now heads up. And the turn rolls off a pretty big brick. It's the nine of hearts. So it does introduce a backdoor flush draw here. But it doesn't change anything, really. Of course, it could introduce some two pairs. I guess it's a fairly likely card if our opponent has like ace nine or king nine or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the villain checks once again. And now, you know, what do you kind of think about this turn and sort of structuring our hand for the over the next two streets?
I mean, at this point, you're probably, you know, solidly not good. So, of the like hands that you show up here with. Is this a better bluffing candidate than, say, like, if you were going to bluff 10-9, would you prefer to continue with 10-9, or would you prefer to continue with this hand? I mean, if we're just thinking from a balance perspective, obviously, if there's some sort of exploit here where you know that this guy folds to turn barrels, then obviously I'm firing here. So I don't know if there's any of that dynamic.
I don't think I have any, like, hard reads more than he's just kind of an ABC player. And so I would want to kind of resort to a more balanced approach, you know, and that was kind of what I was thinking is, you know, as we move forward. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think one thing to think about is, and one thing I wanted to talk about is sort of what our, like, triple barrels look like here. Like, do you think if we bet this hand on the turn, you know, does this hand function the best as a triple barrel versus a hand like, you know, maybe 10-9, maybe another sort of suited connector, you know, just sort of thinking about what do we do on the river if we were to bet here and get called?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's nice to have a jack because we do block the two pairs. I think that that's pretty important to be blocking our opponent's king jack and ace jack. So having a jack is nice. Like, this probably ultimately is a better barrel hand. You know, if we're going to barrel with it, if we're going to bluff with it, this is probably a better barrel hand than a lot of those total air balls that, you know, block nothing. It's also nice to not have a heart here if we're going to triple barrel. Of course, if the river comes a heart, maybe we need to back that off. But yeah, I like this hand. I like to continue. Sure.
I guess another thing that I was sort of thinking, you know, is if we were to like bet large here, because I think I assume you'd agree that, you know, it probably makes sense at this point to go sort of geometric. It's about 120 in the pot and there's about 400 behind. So, you know, if we bet like close to pot here, but not, you know, not quite pot, then we'd have a similar sizing setup on the river. You know, if we were to, you know, because I guess it's sort of, this might be more of a live dynamic than sort of like a balance slash like GTO perspective. But, mm-hmm. you know, if we like bet, whatever, 100 here and got called, you know, is there any consideration that like, you know, villains who are going to call the 100 are just like, have kind of set in their mind that they're just going to call down? And should that lend itself to like giving up river?
I don't, as someone who does a lot of triple barrel bluffing, I don't find that to be the case in general. Mm-hmm. Like, people will fold rivers even after calling a turn. So I don't think that's a big worry. I do wonder, I mean, you are allowed to overbet on this board also, it's worth noting. You have a complete nut advantage. I mean, yes, he can have exactly queen 10, but you can have queen 10, jacks, kings, aces, so and ace king. So I just I think overbetting might be fine also. And even though it's not geometric, typically, you know, you want to use this overbet size instead of a geometric size when your opponent's range is extremely, extremely capped and the turn doesn't change that. So I don't know.
I mean, if we overbet and get called, then do we like ever want to bluff river? Because that's the kind of weird thing about overbetting in a spot like that, like this. You know, if we bet like 160 here and got called, mm-hmm. right, then the pot winds up being like 450 and there's like 250 behind. So all of a sudden, like, our river jam is like fairly small. Like, one, and that kind of brings me back to my last point, where it's like, if we overbet and get called, like, is he really going to fold to a half pot bet on the river? Versus, like, isn't that kind of the point of going geometric, where if we can go geometric, we should, because it kind of puts all his hands into the toughest, like, kind of makes him defend, you know.
That is the idea of geometric bet sizing. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this, but I know there are spots where you could go geometric, but it is better to overbet turn. And I think that it definitely relates to board texture and severity of nut advantage. And I would imagine that this might be one of those boards, but I don't know. I, you know, and if any of our viewers know, like, when that, you know, please let us know if you're familiar with that bit of solverism. When are you supposed to overbet when you could go geometric? Be very interesting to know.
Yeah, because that was kind of my thinking here, is like, I guess I wasn't even aware of that. You know, I generally think, oh, if I can go geometric, then, like, what, you know, do I really want to overbet? It just puts you in such, and I guess the main reason I think that is why it puts you in such a weird spot on the river if you get called. Like, and if you don't, because it's like, it just seems suicidal to keep bluffing for, like, half pot.
But then you also think about, what about, you know, the value hands that right. you would do this with? Like, it's nice to, but, you know, then you can just get it in anyway. I mean, if you went geometric. So, I don't know. It's probably fine not to. I guess I wonder, like, is there a jam option here? Like, is there a sliver of jamming that we do on this turn?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, how many X pot is this
it's
with
like
that jam?
3.5.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, there are times basically when you can do that, which is basically when your opponent simply, like, has almost no nutted hands and you have so many. But this actually, again, is one of those spots.
But I mean, this hand, this is a, I don't really know my triple Broadway spots, and that's why I brought, one reason why I brought this hand on is because I'm like, wow, like, this triple Broadway is obviously a lot different than like double Broadway, right? Because like, if the board comes like ace, king, deuce nine, then I think we probably can have more jams, because like, there are really no nutted hands that our opponents can have. Versus here, like, as you kind of mentioned, our opponent can definitely have every combo of queen 10.
Sure, but you have to remember though, like, I mean, I think if this were, first of all, if this were like UTG versus cutoff or something, I think there's no way in hell you can jam here, because they can have jacks sometimes, for sure. So I wouldn't jam, but some players may, you may even be supposed to have some ace king in there or things like that. So I think it would be worse. I do think that in this spot though, your opponent just has so many like weak hands, like king X hands that they just are on this turn with. I mean, but you're gonna be able to make those hands fold in the river anyway. So if they continue on the turn, they'll probably fold the river. So
it sounds like you're kind of in favor of at least betting large here, possibly taking an overbet sizing, and then continuing on the river with this hand.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I guess we're going back and forth a little too much here. I don't know the theory well enough. I think you may be able to jam with this specific hand because you are blocking. Like, if you're going to jam with some hands, you want to block the nut straight, which you do. Yeah. So. But I think it's certainly plus EV, probably, or not certainly, but I think it's plus EV to bet 100 here. So that's what I would do. Probably.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm fine taking up you know, lots of time on this turn, because what winds up happening is I bet 100, and villain flashes an ace and folds.
Wow. That's. Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Mean, that doesn't even make it to the river, but I was just kind of thinking after the hand, like, wow, what would I have done if he called? Like, yeah. You know, does the heart and not having a heart mean I can actually check back the river sometimes? Because maybe he has Jack X of hearts, you know, occasionally when he continues. Like, I don't know.
I don't think so.
So I think I would have just gone and triple barreled and probably gotten snapped off on the river. So very glad to see him fold the turn.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I can't. The fact that he folded an ace, I mean, you know. This tells me that this player does overfold turns, and I would look to exploit that later in the...
Yeah, he wound up getting stacked like half an hour later and leaving. And he asked me if he made a good fold, and of course I said no. And
nice of you to say.
On his way out. All right, so let's move along. Thanks for going a little deeper, and thank you all to our viewers and listeners for watching, and please don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe if you like the content and you want to see more.
Yeah, we really do enjoy going down these rabbit holes. So if you want to see more rabbit holes, this is the place. This hand is going to come from a session I played yesterday, and this hand, I really think that the outcome of this hand is sort of unacceptable. Like, I'm sort of like beside myself, but I'm also not sure what I should have done differently. So well,
the bankroll burner special.
Yeah. So I'm like this hand shows me how bad I am at poker. It's just like the fact that this is what happened is just like, okay. The villain in this hand is a complete donkey. Like, this person, they're an ABC, they're like ABC player on the donkey side of the ABC spectrum. If that makes sense.
So they're really clicking buttons.
No, I wouldn't say he's clicking buttons. Like, he's just, you know, he's really playing his hands face up.
Okay.
Type of player. So, I have seen him bluff once. He used a small sizing on his bluff when he did it, and he had a super. He had a nutted combo draw, which did hit on the river, and then he shoved.
So it's
quickly.
Like barely a bluff. It's like a 16 out bluff.
Exactly.
Or whatever, 15 out bluff. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, all right. This is a 2-2 game, actually, at Best Bet Orange Park. I hadn't been there in quite some months, but my buddy Anton said we should go, so we did. And this table had a lot of straddling going on, which was nice, but otherwise was sort of a table. We're 500 effective. It's 2-2-4. And I'm on the button with ace of clubs, jack of diamonds.
Okay. So it's playing quite deep.
Yeah, I mean, with the straddle, not really, but...
I'm sort of thinking, given that there's a $200 cap on this game, that's...
Yes, that's right. This game is 200. Yes, there were a few deeper stacks at the table periodically. And I had won a rather large pot recently, versus by just cooling somebody. So love that. Excuse me. So we have a hijack limp. I'm on the button. I make it 20. The hijack was an OMC. Wasn't really worried. And the small blind, big blind, and straddle all call, and the limper, of course, folds.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's always funny when a limper, you know, finds a fold somehow.
Well, not, it was OMC, so I would have been, if he called, I might have set off some alarm bells, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I mean, he might have had queens.
Exactly. So,
okay, so we're four ways against the three blinds, so it sounds like their ranges are probably quite wide.
One would think. The flop is jack of spades, nine of diamonds, four of clubs. So,
that's a good start.
Rainbow, board, we have top, top. And I was thinking, well, I'm going to be c-betting this board, but we don't get the chance. The small blind, who is the main villain, leads out for 40, so half pot into three people.
Okay.
So immediately I'm thinking, this is interesting. And it folds all the way to me. I feel as though it is too nitty to fold here, but you could tell me if you think otherwise.
No, it's definitely way too nitty. This is actually a really interesting donk, because I feel like typically when you see donk bets, they're either really small or really big in relation to the pot. Like, you would expect, you know, we always say many donks are done with, like, top pair weak kicker type hands. Those are often, like, a third pot. Like, I would expect to say, like, a $25 bet. And other donks are done with nutted hands. And those wind up being, like, close to pot. Like, I would expect to see, like, a $75 bet. So
I think we could probably exploitatively fold to a $75 donk bet from ABC player into three opponents. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe. I think that's probably okay.
Because there's not even, like, a nutted combo draw available against which we're flipping. Like, it's literally just, like, he probably has pocket nines. Like,
but, like, this is a smaller bet, so I do kind of think... I mean, I think we definitely can't fold. I think it's probably too thin to raise.
For sure.
A pretty small donk. I don't think he's got a super nutted hand all that often.
No, I agree. I was sort of perplexed by the size of the donk. I'm in agreement with you. Like I said, if this had been a huge donk, I don't know if I have the discipline to fold flop. I might just call flop and fold turn, but I probably am getting away from this hand.
Right.
But
so I'm pretty happy to call. I'm pretty definitely happy to call here. I mean, maybe then, you know, as we sort of talk about this is making me think maybe this hand is representative of, like, a top pair good kicker type hand, like maybe like king jack or queen jack, in which case, great, we're gonna, you know, just kind of shut it, close our eyes and call down and see what happens.
Right, absolutely. I mean, and the other thing I'll say is, too, is if he had done, like, 15, I'm raising here all day, you know, for value versus a jack. So, versus a worse jack.
Okay, so but I like just, we just call in this
we
case.
Just call, yeah.
Okay, I think that's fine.
The turn is the seven of hearts, so completes the rainbow, brings in 10-8 if he has that somehow, and, which I don't think he ever does. He now bets 65. So,
jeez.
Yeah, right? So this is where things start to get a little even more hairy. I'm like, all right, what's going on here? You know, he's betting 65 into 160. So this is like a little over a third pot. I mean.
Yeah, this kind of makes me think that he's just got a jack. If he's playing pretty face up, I just feel like he'd be going bigger with his nutted hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so this does to me, it feels like the most likely hands he has are like king jack and queen jack type hands.
So would you raise here?
Well, I don't know if I would raise here because I don't know if he's calling with king jack or queen jack. Is the thing, because our range is certainly uncapped, and a player like that can absolutely think like, ah, he's got, you know, he's just slow playing your aces,
right?
You know, or something like that. So I don't know if I'd raise because I don't know if we can get called by worse, but I do suspect that villain likely has like a worse jack at this point.
Right. I mean, you know, we are fairly deep here. Like, I don't know that I, but I mean, I guess we're not technically that deep with the straddle. I don't know. I'm wondering, like, is it really too thin to raise always? Like, could we even, like, click it up?
I don't think it's too thin to raise always. No, I mean, I think a small raise could definitely make sense. It's interesting because I don't know that you want to play for stacks against like kind of a tighter ABC reg who's playing like somewhat face up. Like it feels like if we raise, I guess it depends on the river. Like if the river's a deuce, can we just jam? Like maybe, like possibly, right? Like if we think that villain's got a lot of like Jack X here. Another nice thing about like min, you know, kind of like making it like 140 or something, 150 or something like that is like if villain does like have a strong hand, he might just jam. And then we just get to like get away
And
from
we can
it.
fold.
Yeah, we just get to fold, which is great. So maybe there is merit to like a small raise here. I'm on board with that.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not fully convinced yet. Like, I think that it might be a little too thin to try to play for. I mean, but like, what does he have here besides like a jack? I don't know. That's the
Right,
thing, right?
that's
It's
kind of the
like.
thing. It's like on a different board, I might be less inclined to raise because villain sizing here to me says a hand. If the way you've described this guy says a hand that he thinks is strong, is somewhat strong but not too strong. So a hand that I would think that that's the case with is like a bottom two pair type hand or a top pair good kicker type hand. But on this board, there is no bottom two pair. Like villain is not showing up here with 9-4, right? Like
And if he
if
has
the
like Jack nine, he's going to be betting big,
Right, so
probably.
if the board was like if the board was like Jack 5-6 and then the turn was like a deuce, or the turn was like an eight or something and he took the sizing, I'd be less inclined to raise because I think he could have like 5-6 here and just not know where he's at and what he's doing, right? But on a board like this, it feels like the only hand he has is like a jack. I don't know.
Yeah, like king, like exactly like king jack or queen jack, basically.
Or maybe Jack 10.
Yeah, jack 10 also, I guess, is possible because
So
he's got
given
king.
that, I think maybe a raise is in order. You know, we can always check back rivers if we kind of pick up a tell on him or if the board gets super sketchy.
Right. Okay. Well, I didn't raise. I did just call, but I do wonder.
Yeah, I don't know that calling is right, but it feels like it could be as we talk through it, it feels like it could be the best option. Just because
Raising or
also like
calling?
it does kind of give us the opportunity to lose the least if he does have a nutted hand also, because he's kind of likely to just rip it.
You're saying raising because
Yeah,
it
if
just
we
rips.
raise and he like if he's got like a set, he's just gonna jam.
Okay. I think so. I think that's interesting. I'm like, yeah. I guess when you're up against someone who's really playing this way, you know, you have to do that. So, okay. I think
And
it was
it's
maybe.
kind of one of these things where it's like figure out what your opponent is trying to do because we know we know that this player is playing his hand face up and he's a donkey ABC and then prevent him from doing that. So to me, right, it's like you see this, you're like, oh, he's trying to kind of get to showdown and get a little bit of value. So let's interrupt that plan and make him pay if he wants to like
Yeah.
get to showdown.
No, I agree. I think that when you put it that way, it makes a lot of sense. So, okay, I should raise here. Didn't raise, just called. I don't know if calling is terrible, but
I don't think it can be terrible. I think it's all right to call as well.
Okay, the river is where things get real interesting. So the river comes the king of hearts.
Oh, well,
And
that's a
my
turn.
immediate thought is, all right, the villain is going to jam and I'm going to fold. That was an instant thought as soon as the king hit the river. But instead, villain bets $55.
Okay.
And I'm like, what
Yeah,
is this?
I mean, I think we just have a clear-cut call.
Well, that was what I thought
Yeah.
in the moment. And I called pretty quickly. But before I tell you, because I was like, oh, this is just a call. So, but before I tell you what villain had, I do want to linger on this because I'm wondering if it's maybe not so clear-cut as we think.
Okay.
Is villain doing this with Queen Jack? Is
May
my
quite possibly.
You think so?
Because of the sizing, like I do think that this could easily be like a second pair hand.
Okay, what else could this be? I guess
I mean,
would
I think
be.
it's like Queen Jack, Jack 10, or it's like a super nutted hand that he just doesn't know what to do with.
Well, but if it's mostly Queen Jack and Jack 10, then wouldn't we want to jam here?
Oh, but I don't know, because like maybe he's got like I don't know. It's interesting because I do think he would check Queen Jack and Jack 10 sometimes.
Right.
Also.
I do so. I also do.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those hands where I was like, this could be like one of those hands that separates the men from the boys. Because like in my head, this was like, oh, this is just a call. So I call. But
you're right.
I'm wondering, like, villain clearly does not like his hand very much, but right. also thinks his hand has value. I mean, this guy is never being tricky. Like, I'm telling right. you, this guy is not in his repertoire to be tricky. So like, it's a very easy read on this gentleman, like in terms of that way. So here right. I am sitting with second pair top kicker facing this bet. And I'm like, right. what is it? Is it really good to just call? Like, well, I understand that I only need to be right here, like one in seven times or whatever.
This is profitable. This is why,
like,
I think that this would sort of, like, this spot is so weird that this kind of just makes me want to raise turn more. Right? Like, this kind of brings me back to, let's just get him while he's, like, while our hand is for sure good. And then, like, if we had made it, like, 150 or something on the river, on the turn, then the pot would be, like, how much do we put in? We put in 130, so it would have been 160. The pot would be, like, 460. And then we could just milk this guy. Like, we could just go super... We could just go like a super exploitative sizing. We would bet like 150 into 450 and fold to a jam, you know, for like our last $100 or something. Or just get called by worse.
I don't know. We might just check back the river if it's a king.
I don't know, because like I think so we are enough. I think if he always has like king jack, queen jack, or jack 10, then we should bet.
That's pretty sick.
Because like we are ahead of the midpoint of his calling range. We should just bet like tiny, like because if being tricky is not in his repertoire, that's just like the exploit. It's just like milk him.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty sick.
So that's why, because like on the river, I mean, yeah, I guess maybe we should raise anyway. But like, again, I would probably just raise small if we want to get called. Like, I would just like bump it up, like make it 150 here. And just like get called, because I think he's just going to fold to a jam.
Yeah, I mean, if we jam, it's what percent pot is that? It's like, it's
like 3/4 pot.
Yeah, I mean, but he's probably not. He's not thinking on that way though. He's just
right. It's like, you're jamming for like 400, you know, 375.
Yeah. I mean, so
I'd be okay with a small raise here, but that kind of just leads me back to the turn and thinks if we're betting small kind of the whole way, then we want to bet. Then our small bets, we want to be a little bit bigger. So the way to make the max is to raise turn and then bet like a third pot on river.
Yeah, agreed. I think that truly, I do think this is one of those hands where it all seems like on the surface, like, well, it's just a straightforward hand. But this is how, like, you win money in live poker by exploiting terrible player tendencies. And this is just a spot where I completely failed to do that.
And I might play it the same way, honestly, because, like, it is kind of like, oh, scary. Oh, he's donking. It's a little scary. I'm just going to call twice. And then, oh, there's a king. All right, I'm just going to call. So
anyway, we called. And villain turns over pocket queens.
What?
Yeah.
Pocket queens.
We got absolutely owned.
Queen. Wow.
Yep.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, truly. So I don't know what would have happened if I raised turn or river, to be honest. Because after I called and mucked, he was like, I was really worried about that king. I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, I feel like if we raised river, he might have folded.
I agree.
But, like, I don't think we should be turning our hand into a bluff.
No, probably not. But I'm just like, yeah. I mean, this was one of the most bizarre hands, and I couldn't... I was just sort of felt like a horrendous poker player, accurately.
I don't
felt
think like a horrendous this is, poker like, player unacceptable, though. Like...
But, like, think about... But it kind of is unacceptable, though. Like, if you think about it, it's, like, the losing to this player, playing this absolutely terrible way. Like, the way he is playing this hand is, like, about as bad as it could have... Like, he played every street wrong, you know? And, like, wrong in a special way.
Yeah,
you know,
But, like, that... Like, sometimes, like... Yes, that's true. But if villain flat calls with queen and we raise free flop with ace jack and the board comes out jack high, we just should wind up losing a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I hear you. Let me explain. Like, on balance, like, it's kind of whatever. But I guess what I'm saying is I feel like there is our game, my game, I can't speak for you, at least not totally, but I think my game anyway is insufficiently exploitative, and this is proof of that, because right. I feel like I should have been able to win this hand.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know that you should have been able to win this hand. I think that what you should be thinking about is more like his range. If he's playing face up, like, I just think he has a jack so often that we should just target that jack. And, like, if he shows up here once in a great while, to borrow a great phrase from Bart, you know, once in a great while, if he shows up here with pocket queens and we lose, that's fine.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. You're right. It's not that I should have been able to win the hand, and that isn't actually what I meant to say. What I meant to say is, like, the way in which I, like, lost, I was like, what the hell?
Like, you know, I would say we didn't lose enough.
Yes, right. If I had, like, basically gotten my stack in this hand and lost, I don't think I would have thought much of it. I don't even know if it would have made it to the podcast, because I would have been like, okay, he has queens. But, like,
it would have been especially funny, but I think, because, like, if you had, like, jammed river, like, bet, let's say you would raise turn and bet a third pot on the river, and villain just moaned and moaned and moaned and then called, you would be, like, fist pumping. You would be like, I am always good here.
Right, exactly. So... I just, in my mind, I'm not upset that I lost the hand. That's I'm upset with myself, to be clear. I'm not upset with myself that I lost the hand. I am upset with myself with the manner in which I lost this hand.
So, yeah, and I think we kind of understand maybe what we could have. I think raising, and I probably would have played it the same way, but I think as we think about it now, it's easier to do after the fact and objectively looking at it. I think, you know, just making a small raise on turn and betting river just to kind of milk this guy makes the most sense. And if we lose to queens once in a while and we lose to king jack once in a while, I think so be it, and we just win most of the time.
Okay, cool.
All right, well, I've got another bizarre one coming up, so a nice strange episode. Let's just go right into it. We're playing once again 1-3 with the straddle on. Looks like we're about 640 effective.
Lines with the straddle.
Yeah, so about 100 big blinds with the straddle. And this table, again, has been playing pretty passively overall, especially the two people to my left. They're both playing super ABC. There's, like, a kind of weird, I don't know, guy who's playing kind of weird, and then there's, like, an old Asian stationy guy. Here's what happens. The straddle's on. There's a limp from up front, like UTG limp. I'm in the small blind with ace-seven of diamonds, and I decide to overlimp. Which, you know, can probably go either way.
Yeah, I think either way is really okay. You can raise sometimes and not other times.
The big blind comes along, and then the straddle bumps it up to 26. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the player to my direct left must have been up this hand, because the player who's in the straddle is a little bit more of an ABC guy, and that means the guy directly to my left was the Asian station.
Okay. So the straddle makes it 26, folds back to you?
No. The first limper calls. I think I kind of have to call playing this deep with a suited ace.
I don't know. I think you can probably fold, to be honest, but okay.
Maybe.
You're going to be out of position to two people with a weak ace.
That's true, but don't you worry. It's not two people. It's three people, because I call on the big blind calls as well.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you're what? So it's going to be like 100 in the middle, and you're going to have 600 behind. I mean, seems like a good way to lose $600, but all right.
I think you can lay this down.
Yeah. Sure. Fair enough.
But how I am going to stack off is on two aces. As the board comes out, ace of spades, ace of clubs, three of spades.
Okay. I already don't like it.
Well, don't. It's going to get. It's okay. So I start with the check here.
Yep.
And the check's
absolutely
around.
Okay, all right. I'm feeling a little better now.
And I see your point that we could fold preflop. Like, it is probably fine to fold preflop.
I mean, we famously on this show play way too many hands preflop.
So. We famously on the show tell each other to fold preflop and then play poorly preflop.
I really think preflop is the weakest part of my game, and it's so stupid because it's the easiest thing to fix. You just like buy some subscription to some site and just look at charts. But damn it, I'm just like really dumb, so I don't do that.
Well, the turn, you know, we're not going to stack off when one ace is on the board. We're not going to stack off with two aces on the board, but the river comes the eight, or the turn comes the ace of hearts.
Oh, so you've got quads.
So we've got four of a kind.
Huh. Okay. And, so I think you may have the best hand.
And I decide to check.
Why?
Because I think people are going to be betting a lot, like any pocket pair here.
I don't. Not live players.
But this is kind of where it gets weird. Like, I think I probably could have just bet, like, big here.
I think so, too, because are you going to check raise? Like, you were going to get so many folds.
Right. No, I don't think I'm going to check raise.
So I think check calling here is pretty miserable. I feel like you. I think you just need to bet big, because you will get called if you bet big by, like, fives.
Right.
I
mean, will we get called on two streets?
Possibly. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you won't get called. Like, you definitely won't get a check raise through, though.
Right.
Like, I think if you check raise pocket fives will fold.
Right.
No.
Right. So right. I agree. I think I should probably have bet here.
Yeah.
Just, like, bet and get a call and then try and, like, bet.
And again. Maybe you don't get called on the river, but at least you got a large, like, one street of large value. So.
Well, here's what happens. I check. This is, again, this is a very strange hand. The big blind, I'm just double-checking his sizing. The big blind bets 30.
Okay. Into, like, 105 or something.
Yes. And both players call.
Wow. Well, now I'm wondering if we should check raise.
Right. And this is a big decision point, I think. It's like, do we want to check raise? Can we, like make a small check raise? Can we just, like, bomb it and hope we get called by, like, some random pocket pair? I don't know, well, like...
What the heck do villains have, though?
Right,
like, I don't even understand what their range looks like. Somebody has a pocket pair for sure.
But, like, somebody probably has nothing.
Right. Like... Somebody probably has, like, King 9 or something.
Right. Like, this is the weird thing about live poker. It's like, when the flop checks through, sometimes people just do not believe that anyone has anything.
Right. Which is completely impossible, but, you know, does occur.
So this is why this was such a weird hand. Because, like, first of all, I do agree, especially as we're talking about it now, that leading turn makes a lot more sense. But now that I've checked and three people have called, I'm like, I don't understand what these players have. Mm-hmm. And here's what I was thinking in game, and you can tell me that I'm stupid. I was thinking the big blind is the player who's most likely to have a pocket pair because he's quite tight when he bets and he's quite stationy when he doesn't bet. So, but I do think that if I check raise, I might lose him, especially given his sort of position where he's like, he like is also somewhat ABC and it might be understandably worried if he has a hand like fives or sixes or a three or something that the players behind him might have him beat. So my thought was, I'm going to call here and I'm just going to lead out quite large on like all rivers and like hope that looks weird and he calls and then maybe someone else calls too. But I don't know that that's like, and this is not like in any way balanced. It's just like me thinking, how do I get a call in the best manner?
It's not important to try to be balanced in these situations because the board running out trip aces will like almost never happen.
And we have four players in this hand. So there's no like balance to be found. I'm just thinking, how do I get called? What is going to look like the weirdest and going to get the most calls?
Here's a question. If you call, is there a chance that, and then, you know, the river is a blank and you check river, do you think big blind would bet again?
I don't know because the thing about it is, like, I feel like the villain, like, it. Let's say the river is, like, the river is going to be an overcard and, like, likely going to be an overcard to his pair. So, like, I feel like he's more likely to call a bet because, like, let's say the river is, like, an eight. Like, it doesn't really make sense for me to have an eight, you know, and it wouldn't really make sense for me to, like, bomb it with an eight. So, like, I think he's more likely to call, but he might check back an 8 because he's like, oh, I'm against... Or, like, he might check back on the card like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is why I'm thinking, like, does it make more sense to just, like, because, like, I don't know, if I, like, minge, if I, like, make it, like, 75 here and then bomb river, I don't think I'm, I don't know that I'm getting calls at all. I don't know if I'm getting a call here.
Yeah, it's, like, it looks very nutted, I think, unfortunately. But it also could look really bluffy, but players might not want to call you down anyway, even if it looks bluffy.
That's why I like, what do you think about the, like, check call lead? Because that almost, I don't know, I was kind of thinking, like, that could look bluffier.
I mean, I would think it looked very nutted.
Of course.
But, yeah, will players perceive that as being very nutted? Probably. Honestly, man, like, I don't know. I think that's cool and creative, and maybe it'll work. Obviously, it's impossible to like, completely, you know, fuck this hand up. So
we're gonna win the hand, most likely.
I mean, maybe the perspective is, like, I mean, here's the thing. What's the strongest hand big blind can have in your mind?
Probably, like, pocket tens.
That he limp called with pre?
Yeah.
You think he could have a strongest? Okay.
Maybe pocket nines, but, like.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the question is, do we want to target the strongest parts of our opponent's range, or do we want to target the marginal parts? Like, that's really the first question we have to ask. Like,
right.
And if the strongest thing in our opponent's range is pocket nines, like, I don't know. Are we ever going to get a lot of value from pocket nines? Like, is it possible?
Right, and I don't know, because, like, it does just look so strong to check raise here. But at the same time, like, they say in live poker, like, never try to make someone fold a full house.
The other thing, too, is you shouldn't really ever have a better hand than him if he has nines. I actually do wonder if you could get a lot of value from pocket nines, because, like, what's he going to be afraid of? You can't have kings, queens, jacks, or probably not even tens. I mean, he might think maybe you have tens, but, like, you limp called preflop, so you shouldn't really have, like, a better pair than nines. So,
right.
I mean, you definitely shouldn't. He hopefully perceives you as that. So maybe you can just, like, maybe he will stack off with nines.
Right.
So maybe you want to target that part of his range instead of just trying to milk, like, fives, which you might not even be able to milk.
Right.
I guess is what I'm thinking.
So I maybe was also somewhat thinking about the other two players, you know, because, like, what do they even have, you know?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to get called, you know, if I make a small raise or if I bet river, if I call and bet river, can I ever get calls from multiple opponents?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I would check raise here. I think I would check raise and I wouldn't min click, but I wouldn't go very large. I think I would maybe do maybe I would go 100. That's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
And just try to see if we can get called by, like, nines. I understand what you're saying, that big blind might fold because of the guys behind him. But again, like, what are they going to have?
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This is a really weird spot that I just had no idea how to play. Because I was like, well, I just don't know how to avoid looking like I have an ace here.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, no one's going to give you credit for quads. I mean, this is the other thing. At the beginning of this turn, I said, like, oh, you could never check raise here because people will just fold. But I was thinking about, like, hands like fives. But if we're thinking about nine, like, trying to get max value from nines or whatever, well, I still like a bet. But now that we've checked, I do think that I think you can check raise given the action of bet, call, call. I think you could make it 100. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd just call. But yeah, I agree. I think that I it's just so weird. And I think that check raising does make sense. And I do like leading the most. But I decided to call and just see what happens on the river.
Okay. All right. So we're going to a river with, like, 225 in the pot, and we have quads.
Yeah. And the river comes a four, an offsuit four.
Okay.
So is there any merit to checking again and hoping that he leads out again?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think so either. Because I think, like, when he gets called by three people, he might just shut down no matter, like, all the players might just shut down given that it's multi-bet.
I think that it is likely. And if he really somehow has something that he thinks is, like, really, really strong, then he's not going to fold. So.
Yeah. So I do decide then to take a large sizing here.
Yes. Okay. I like it.
Okay. Because I do think that, like, again, don't make people fold a full house. So therefore, I would expect to get called a lot when he's got a full house.
So I bet what is 200. The sizing? 200. Okay. Almost pot. All right. Sure.
Yeah. And the big blind tanks for a while and does wind up folding, and everyone else quickly follows suit.
Ah, bummer.
Yeah. So I wonder if I could have made more by either betting turn and then betting river or check raising turn, because... But I want, yeah. You know, I mean, if I'm going to bet and everyone folds here on this relative brick, it's like, if he's got a hand like pocket fives plus, you would expect him to call, to play the turn or the river pretty much the same way.
Yeah, agreed. Did you get a high hand here for your quads?
No, there was no high hand on it. There's no, they don't run the high hand on the weekends.
Wow, that's incredibly Encore Boston Harbor of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they only run high hands when they need to get people in the room. So, like,
yeah.
It, you know, it's even worse, actually, because even the weekday high hands, they run at just the most bizarre hours. Like, they don't run the high hand from, like, 6 to 8 p.m. They run it from, like, 1 to 6, and then from, like, 8 to 11.
Best Bet does that 8 to 11. That's bizarre. Best Bet also has, like, a few-hour break in there for some reason. Maybe that's when, like, people eat dinner. I don't know. But, 8 to 11? That's
crazy. It's something like that, yeah.
I mean, look, I don't care about high-end promo, obviously, but it's nice that it brings people into the room and gets people.
And it would have been nice to get, like, an extra $500 from my quads, sure, that I got minimal value with.
Yeah. Quad aces. All
but,
right,
you know,
well,
one-card quads are obviously can be tough to get value from. Unless you're playing against me, where I always pay off one-card quads.
Absolutely. Well, how many, let me ask you, how many royal flushes have you gotten in your life, Josh?
I've gotten one online.
One online. I've never had one, either online or in person.
I don't think I've ever had a straight flush in person, either.
I've had a single one-card straight flush.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've made quads a couple times.
Yeah, I've made quads at least a dozen times. Quads,
oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, quads is easy. You just need
four. So, you know, this is just such a bizarre hand, and, you know, I see your point that, like, yeah, this happens so rarely, it's, like, not worth studying the theory, but it's also, like, I did kind of feel bad, because I was like, I feel like I could have made a little more of this hand.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that you could have, to be honest. If they just didn't, if all they had was just, like, low pocket pairs, I don't think you were making any more, pretty much, no matter what you did. So.
Well, unless maybe the way, I mean, I think definitely the way to make more is if, like, we bet 50 on the turn, we would have made a little more.
Sure. Yeah, I think leading turn is good. So.
Yeah. All right.
Well, everybody, you've spent an hour with us. It was very nice. It was very comfortable to feel your presence in this nice, drizzly Sunday afternoon.
Sunny here.
Well, skill issue. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. And leave a comment below. Tell us about the theory of how you're supposed to play quads, because, you know, someone's got to know. Somebody out there knows.
And tell us about some weird hands that you've played.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear them.
Please do. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.